Good afternoon, Tim.
G'day.
Thanks for joining us here at 2SER.
Well, I'm pleasure to be there.
Or here, or there.
However that works on radio.
We're everywhere. We're all around the world. Now, let's talk about this from a nuts and bolts point of view. Now, a lot of people might not realize how big a thing gaming is. Still, we're not talking about video games here. We're talking about figurines. We're talking about board games. Talking about card games. Can you explain a bit of the attraction of that sort of gaming as opposed to the other world of video gaming?
Well, it's a lot more fun for a start. You don't die as often. The CanCon is a miniature wargaming, like tabletop little painted toy soldiers, where board games, where card games, where role play, where participation games, where trade stands selling anything related to the hobby or totally unrelated to the hobby that is interesting anyway. And it's just lots of fun. There's the hobbies have been growing kind of every day or every year. We've got new games coming out, new miniatures being produced, new ways of painting being developed. It's just a hobby that's just continually growing, and we're seeing a lot more people turn up and having a lot more fun.
And it's great to hear that it is still growing, because I guess some people might assume that with the growing of the internet and the cloud computing and the battling online, that maybe the art of D&D and miniature gaming might have faded away or started deteriorating. But you're saying it's actually growing.
Yeah. Our board games library, for instance, has doubled in size this year to about 120 tables. So that they can fit about 4 to 6 people per table playing board games. Some of our tournaments have hit their caps, like the maximum number of people that can fit in their event, and then we've increased the caps just because so many more people want to play.
Yeah.
We have almost 1,000 people who have pre-registered for our miniatures tournaments. So compared to last year, which was about, I think, 800 or so, it's gone up. And we've got the card games, there's like new ones coming out all the time. There's new people turning up. Old people coming back. It's just, it's more fun than computers, because in a computer you get to kind of play your avatar or drive your little kind of Mario Kart around. With miniature wargaming, you get to assemble them, paint them, and have a lot of fun with different people, and very rarely is any two games the same, so it's a lot more variety.
Well, that's right. You're not relying on an AI or dynamics in a game to determine how the game is played. And then you've got the social aspect, where you're face-to-face with people, which is often overlooked when you're doing video games.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun, because you're not just sitting at your computer, because I play computer games, but I also do, as I said, I've been wargaming for 30 years now.
Yeah.
I'm getting old. there's the social aspects. We've got people who they come to CanCon and they catch up with people that they see pretty much on the convention circuit. There's conventions all up and down Australia. Like any long weekend, there's a convention somewhere. So you'll get people who they'll catch up with mates that they haven't seen for a while, or kind of make new friends, or this is Bob, and he brought his son along. He's been playing so long, so now you get to lose against his son instead of just losing against the guy as well.
Well, so, it's generational, it sounds like, and it sounds like younger kids are continuing on and getting into the craze as well.
Oh, definitely, because in fact, I've just spent the morning, or most of the day, in fact, loading up a truck with stuff from our storage locker in our games club room, just to get ready for our setup day tomorrow. And the guy who was helping me is actually the son of one of my mates who's I've known for 20 years. I'm getting really old. Actually, more than that, 30 years. Yeah. So he's into the hobby now as well. Yeah. And so we've got families coming along. Like, it used to just be kind of teenagers and young adult males, but now we have families like mum, dad, and all the kids coming along, and we've got games for everybody.
Yeah, very cool. Obviously, this is becoming into the 40th year of CanCon, which is a massive achievement. What do you put behind its longevity and the fact that you've been going consistently for 40 years?
The fact that we change every year. We're not stuck in the same design. We listen to what people say. Oh, maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do that next year. We've expanded, as in, like, this year we've increased from about 5,500 square meters to almost 7,000 square meters of floor space.
Yeah.
So a lot more people can turn up, and a lot more games. And we just keep playing the games that people want to play, or keep offering the games that people want to play.
And what are some of the most popular games currently?
Well, our European board games, or Euro board games, in the games library. You still have also Magic. You then got the Warhammer 40K, the Kings of War, the Warhammer Fantasy. It's in Ninth Age at the moment. You got World War II Bolt Action. It's a World War II game, but if people might be familiar with Flames of War, which is played in 15mm scale, where the miniatures a normal man is 15mm tall. Bolt Action is good for us old players because the miniatures are 28mm tall. They're taller. They're not as hard to paint when they're not that small. And we've got all the popular games. And a lot of the small games that aren't as popular, they're still getting a lot of people turning up to play because this is like one of the major tournaments every year of those small games. And so if you play like XYZ games all the time at your local club, you might want to come along to CanCon and play something else.
Yeah, fantastic. And there's a whole lot of different options there, and you might discover new games as well.
Yeah.
Now, I've got to tell a funny story, because when I saw your name on interviewing you today, I was like, took my mind back when I used to live in Canberra, and my dad owned a toy shop in Canberra 25 years ago. And we met because my dad used to sell little miniatures that you painted up in our store. It's great. Yeah. And it's so great to see that you're still doing it and you're painting them and you're organizing this whole thing. It's amazing that, and it's so cool that I had that link with you back then. I remember being very jealous of the art and the precision of painting those miniatures so small. I was like, I was never very arty like that, and I was like, I can't do that. I'm not careful enough. But
it was actually funny. The stuff that I did in your dad's store, like in Kevax, was actually part of a badge when I was in Venturers. One of the badges that you could do was a creativity badge, and you had to do like three works of art. Oh. And I'm going, well, I don't paint, like I don't do portraits or landscapes or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at the time, I made scenery for war games, and I also made models for war games. So I convinced my venture leader at the time, can I do this? Does this count? And he said, yes, but you have to display them. And I said, well, I haven't done a place that might let me do that. And then I did another one where I was doing this little Cars for Car Wars, like it's an old Steve Jackson game.
Oh, yeah.
He says he looks over his bookshelf to see the latest version of it. And I was converting Matchbox cars into like Mad Max cars.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
And then also running the odd tournament at the shopping centre and stuff like that. So it's probably your dad's fault that I'm now organising CanCon because I got hooked on doing it.
Well, I'm glad that my family could in some way help you in your future pursuits. It's very fantastic.
Yeah. I always wanted to find out where your dad got those jelly babies from. They were awesome, those ones. You used to munch on them while we were playing.
Well, yes, it's another story and completely that we used to have a lolly counter, which was very popular in the afternoons. And yes, I might have ingested quite a lot of them. But I've still got my teeth, which is a positive. One last question, Tim. If you're a beginner and you haven't really done this before, but you've got an interest in it, I always think it's quite overwhelming. Where to start? How do you begin? What's the first thing you would suggest people get into?
Well, with miniature wargaming, the thing that I always talk about, I get this question so often, is you've got an interest in a particular game or a particular period of history or science fiction or something like that. There's a game there that will match your interest. If you like ancient history, there's games for that. If you like, say, modern stuff, there's games for that. If you like science fiction, I can point to about a dozen games for that. What you do is you go find people who play that game and you watch a game. Pretty much everybody at our tournaments, at our event this weekend, if you're polite and you sit there and you stand there and you kind of look and say, you ask the odd question, not pointing, oh, look at that guy hiding behind the building, they'll answer questions because they like getting people into the hobby.
Yeah.
And they'll help you. And then there's the trade stands will help you. They'll give you the best deals on things, or our participation games, which don't cost anything to come and have a look at. You can learn a game there. But most of the time, just talking to some of the players, they're more than happy to kind of get people involved in the hobby because we all like it. We play it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Well, most of us do. You want to get into the hobby, you watch some games being played first, and then the next thing, of course, is you actually plan what you want to do before you start buying anything.
Right.
I tell that to so many people. don't just go out and start buying miniatures and then try to work out what to do. Work out what you want to do, then buy the miniatures. It's a lot cheaper and a lot more fun.
Some excellent advice.
Looking at the huge boxes of miniatures on his desk. I swear I do that. But but it's a lot of, as I said, entry to CanCon for spectators doesn't cost anything. So our theory is that the money that you don't spend on an entry ticket, you can then spend on our trade stands, which makes our trade stands happy, which makes them come back, and they help pay for the event. Hmm. So you pop in, have a look around. We're open, as I said, from 8:30 on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep.
On the Friday and Saturday, where some of the tournaments will finish between 6 and 10, our games library closes at midnight. And then on the Sunday, it's the last day, so stuff starts to pack up around about 5 or 6 o'clock. But most things will finish by then. So you can pop in, have a look, join in the free participation games, have a look at the tournaments being played. You can pay to play in the games library if you want. And as I said, that goes till midnight. And it's lots of fun for the entire family. It's not just like the kids who like science or the kids who like the parents who like history. We've got stuff that everybody will like to play.
Excellent. It sounds awesome. I'm sure there's people up in Sydney who are heading down there this weekend to Canberra. It's not even cold right now, so it's the best time to go to Canberra.
it's going to be a nice balmy 40 degrees.
Well, good luck with the event this weekend, and it's fantastic to talk to you here on 2SER.
Yep, no, Bob, thanks for talking to me.